And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, 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 no fear. You know, we gotta demonstrate that, or, you know, you never get the right kind of associations based on they know that you'll whatever the heck, we're all about deals and contracts, and you better live up to it or we'll be real buttheads. You know, that was one thing that kind of saved libertarians in the 90s, is that we were so pro-gun, and a lot of us, you know, were carrying guns, or had pictures with us with guns, or at some gun rally of a gun thing, of a gun, and they think libertarians kind of crazy anyway, so they were like, yeah, don't mess with them libertarians, man, they got guns! It'd be like, you know, militia with ties or something, you know, and a lot of us didn't even wear ties, we don't care. But the, so this was kind of, you know, it's like the Ronnie Reagan thing back in the 80s. You know, I'm crazy. I just got nuclear weapons. You never know what I'll do, you know. So it was interesting to see their mindset, because a lot of these are just people, and they're legislators or law enforcement or county attorneys or whatever, and the boys tell them they got us something, and they, when they're dealing with, you know, crazy people, they didn't have the multi-jurisdictional fusion center. We're going to kick some ass and get in hut SWAT team with the attack helicopters, you know, as much back then as they do now. So, and all this is based on their fear of not being able to rule people. And then they start to find out that there is just inspiration. There's just people out there that inspire people, kind of like Adam Kokesh thing. Man, he got some land here in Arizona doing his thing. They're like, hell no. So we'll see what happens with that. The coming up this week, I got, you know, I have the PALS thing up and ready to go, but I got to tell you who's coming up this week. In the third hour, we have Richard Winger. Richard Winger, Ballot Access News for freaking ever. He's been an activist inside the Libertarian Party, and he's a big resource for Ballot Access News for just about everything. And we scheduled him. I talked to him just a little bit, but I know he knows and knows because he knows. So we're going to talk about, you know, independent opportunities, and he's even those deadlines are, as I remember, they're starting to pass by pretty quick. So tomorrow we have James Corbett, you know, from Japan. That'll be interesting. And it looks like we got Austin Peterson. We have Gary Johnson running for the presidential nomination as a Libertarian, John McAfee, Daryl Perry, all those three we've talked to already, but we haven't talked to the young man, Austin Peterson. Now, he has some connection with Andrew Napolitano and Fox News and did and kind of, and he's just, you know, politician-y, but we'll see how he holds up under, you know, anarchist libertarian stuff. We'll see what happens. Then in the third hour, Chris Wade from Think Penguin. Now, this is my laptop I got. It's, I want to talk to him about some of the changes. Since I bought this, the FCC is trying to, you know, they're really on this. You're not allowed to stop us from looking inside your router and surveilling you from your wireless. You're not allowed to have encryption on. You're not allowed. Well, Chris Wade knows all about that, so we're going to, you know, I'll check in with him. Then Thursday, of course, is the Trump report. But for the first hour, we're going to have Roger Stone on for 30 minutes just to introduce him to Frank, okay? Just because that'll be fun. So we'll do that. Then on Friday, we have Scott Horton and Drew Phillips. Now, Drew Phillips from Bitcoin Not Bombs, Open Bazaar, is starting to come online. He and Derek Slopey, they got some kind of Open Bazaar interface of you get to do your store and kind of, you know, we're going to, you know, and the man can't stop and suck it kind of stuff. So I'm going, all right, we'll talk all about that. He'll set Donna up with her store and so on, and we'll get it going. So we have a full week already. I mean, it's just getting going. Now, the day you have to know the background, this was it 14 or was it 12? Might have been, whatever, doesn't matter. I think it was 14. We had the election, and Pal Gamel is running for U.S. Congress against the former mayor of Paradise Valley here and a state legislator named Ms. Kyrsten Sinema. Here, I'll show you her picture. I just had it up here next to my heart. Okay, this is Kyrsten Sinema. She's an attractive woman. She and I get along. My first week I had on radio in 03, I had her on. She did a big anti-war protest. She was a Green. She's a socialist. She's open. She's a Bernie Sanders, okay? You know, it'd be interesting to see who she's supporting. I bet you it's probably Hillary. She definitely is freaking... She was buds with Janet Napolitano and The Machine or whatever. It'd be interesting to see what her... Yeah, she probably doesn't say neither. She's a I don't say kind of person. But so she's running, and they just, everybody knows in Arizona and the gerrymandering of that district, and it's a progressive kind of, oh, my God. And she wins the state legislature. Then she gets reelected. Then she's going to run for Congress, and she knows how to play the game. Well, they think a black mayor from Paradise Valley is going to trump a bisexual, attractive woman, you know, on the Democrats. Until Pal Gamel gets in. So we're going to go in. Now, there is a long debate of why we don't need to go through that. But there's a four-minute version of the debate done. Now, I got to warn you. I think there's some cussing in here a little bit, you know, for effect. But it's political and news, and I'll probably get away with it. So 4409, Shelton, you know, that's in, where is he now? Kansas City. And he used to be here. He was very well known in the Ron Paul Revolution. Well, he did a four-minute cut of this debate, and just the essence of it was awesome. He just, you know, skipped to the end. Pal didn't care. Now, keep in mind, during that election cycle, there was Jeff Flake was running for election or re-election as the state senator. Now, Flake used to be with the Goldwater Institute. I met it, I know, and he was a wide berth to me because he knows I know. And he knows enough about libertarian. He understands kind of, you know, he knows. So he knows I know that he's sold out of, he knows. So I go to Mark and I go, come on, man, I don't want to do this. You do it. Come on, run for USI. Get you on the ballot. It'll be easy. We'll take care of it. So Mark Victor, all right. I wear him down. He decides he's going to run. Well, then, of course, all our Republican friends go, oh, now they'll go all hardcore. Jeff's one of us. He's good. So Mark kind of back said, if you back off, it'll be the biggest regret that you ever had. You take this opportunity, you beat him over the head with, well, they say, you know what's his name said, and say, he's not so bad. I go, all right, you pull on this, and you don't, you know, take out his jugular, I'm telling you, you're going to regret it. Well, that's why he kind of, well, he's kind of okay, you know, he's not as bad as, and then, you know, he did some of the stupid, I'm going, yeah, how you feel now? So Mark always regretted that. He's like, nah, you were right, I pulled, and I shouldn't have. When he had a fundraiser scheduled in the East Valley in Chandler, where his law firm is and he lives. And we're going, you know, we have a party, you know, this Saturday, and we're going to do Led Zeppelin thing Friday. So we'll get all dosed up on Mark Victor and Tracy and friends and so on this weekend. Then we'll have plenty to talk about this stuff. But, or not, if the women have anything to do with it. That night that he had a big fundraiser, and a lot of people came and, you know, giving him money and run, okay, we're going to do a fundraiser. That night was when Pal Gamel had this debate. Everybody's watching the Pal Gamel thing, go to the fundraiser, and they're just kind of dejected. A lot of them, they're going, you libertarians aren't running to win? You don't, you know, it's kind of what? Well, that, he didn't even wear a tie. It was like, you know, I can't believe, you know, this is the most popular one in the, you know, the whole slate here, and you guys are kicking ass in that race, but you're not, what? They didn't get it. They wanted to play politics. And we're going, it's a psyop. This is all about culture. When we come back, I'm going to rejoin with this debate, okay? The 4409 cut of it. And you just see, he did the opening, the closing, the rest of it, he didn't care. He's like, yeah, whatever, you know? And then he has them doing just a fast beat. You'll enjoy it. 4 minutes. So when we come back, that's what we'll do.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome to the special Vote 2012 edition of Arizona Horizon. I'm Ted Simons. Tonight's show is a debate. We'll hear from candidates running to represent Arizona's 9th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives. Three candidates are in the race to represent CD9. They are Democrat Kyrsten Sinema, a former state legislator, Republican Vernon Parker, a current councilman and former mayor of Paradise Valley, and Libertarian Powell Gamel, a retired microbiologist who's making his fifth run for Congress. Each candidate will have the opportunity for a one-minute opening statement. We drew numbers to see who goes first, and that honor goes to Powell Gamel.
I differ from the other two candidates because I am not here to rule over you, but to advocate for our personal freedom. I live by a single principle, that it is wrong to initiate force or fraud on others, and I expect everyone else to live by that same standard. That is what the Founding Fathers were trying to give us, a system that maximizes personal liberty and profit and minimizes the cost to optimize our life by providing the freedom to keep and enjoy the fruits of our labor and not to let a bunch of thugs in fine suits come along and steal from those labors by rule and confiscation. So tonight is really about the only two choices you have, you choosing who rules over you or you choosing not to participate in that process. It is wrong to initiate force or fraud upon others.
Thank you very much. For the next opening statement, we now turn to Vernon Parker.
Thank you, Ted, and thank you all for tuning in.
Democrat, blah, blah, blah. Al-Qaeda, blah, 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 blah. George Bush is a great man, blah, blah, blah. I love approved photo radar as mayor. Oops, can you take him out? Okay, I'll lower taxes. Bullshit. I love the Patriot Act, blah, 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 blah. Working moms, education, blah, 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 blah. I love the troops on my time, working with them in public, blah, 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 blah. I would give the Prime Minister of Israel a blowjob before she would, blah, 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 blah. I wear two flag plans because I'm so patriotic, blah, blah, blah. Faith is important to me, blah, blah, blah. God bless the troops. Blah, 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 blah. I ran nukes. Blah, blah, blah. Bomb Iran. Blah, blah, blah. I would bomb them before she would because I'm more patriotic. Blah, blah, blah. Thank you.
And our final opening statement is from Kyrsten Sinema.
Well, good evening. And Ted, thanks so much for having us here this evening.
Abortion. Blah, blah, blah. Republicans hate women. Blah, blah, blah. Al-Qaeda. Blah, blah, blah. Great job. Blah, blah, blah. Working moms. Blah, blah, blah. Energy independence. Blah, blah, blah. I will sell out half sex clean when I go to Congress. Blah, blah, blah. Republicans. Blah, blah, blah. Health care for all. Education. Blah, blah, blah. I had more to do with the troops. I will do another. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Already gave the Prime Minister Israel for a blowjob, so he's too late. Blah, blah, blah. Nukes. Blah, Iran. Blah, blah, blah. Sanctions. Blah, blah, blah. I will bomb them before he would. Blah, blah, blah. I wear a pin on my snatch because I'm more patriotic. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you very much.
Final closing statement is from Powell Gamel.
Another 2 years and yet another opportunity to either vote for a whole bunch of offices or candidates, or one candidate is obviously going to win and therefore your vote doesn't count, or where an R and a D are both unacceptable, where once again you get to choose between the lesser of two evils. Choosing evil is still evil. The only alternative is to choose not to participate in what is a voluntary process. Don't vote. You have better things to do than reaffirm the process where a bunch of thugs get anointed to divvy up your stolen labor in a 60-40 split. The Washington Party does not need your choice because either candidate is acceptable to them. What they need is your participation and your consent in the anointing. Deny them both by finding better things to do this election.
Revolution.
Okay, you feel us? You see? This is what how this whole thing came out in 12. Yeah, it was 12. This is God, I mean, it was so impactful what Powell did. And he got the highest percentage in the nation in a three-way third party. He beat my record from 04 in federal races, in contested races. So I'm going, wow. You know, and the Democrats loved it. Why? Because it advantaged the Democrats. It, you know, the this state is seen as, you know, a Republican state, and they get the blame, and it was just, and they've just, yeah, and a lot of them just, yeah, I'm keeping my vote. Yeah, but Kyrsten, the Democrat will get in. And the difference is what? Exactly what is the difference? They were saying the same thing. That's why he's going, blah, blah, blah. You know, I love Iran. No, I love him more. I would give him a blowjob. Well, I already did, so you lose. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, it was so healthcare and this and kind of, I love the troops and I wear two, you know, flag lapel pins, you know. I mean, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was just, it was awesome. That video went stupid. Now, I wonder how many hits it had. Not that I believe anything they say anyway, you know, that doesn't make any difference because I don't trust them. But let's go ahead and take a look. And blah, blah, how many views? That shows, you know, 4,400. That's crap. But anyway, enough. So the thing is that I can see that they, them, those are very concerned about this happening again on many levels, because some gerrymandered districts are, you know, if you got to make everyone Republican, that means, you know, out of eight districts, you know, one of them's got to be Democrat. You got to throw the Democrats in something. I mean, you got little lines of how the district, and gerrymandering comes from, I don't know, it was back in the day, some guy named, you know, Jerry or whatever was named after somebody. And all they did is they carve up the district in such a way to make sure all the minorities and poor people, you know, are not in this district. You got rich districts that could easily have, you know, next to them poor, and they just kind of cut that off and keep all the Republicans in one area, and they try and dump all the Democrats in another. And sometimes they have to have like a street go way down somewhere and pick up them. I mean, it's just, that's the way they do it. Here in Arizona, in the 90s, to try and stop this, when they did redistricting after the congressional realignment from the census back in the early 90s, they created what they called an election districting board that was supposed to be more random and how and whatever, and they got that in. I think it was by initiative. It may have been legislation, but they got this in. And then it was headed, it was to have two Republican, two Democrat, or the parties would be represented on some way, and the head of it would be an independent. There would be someone that's, well, what'd they do? First thing they did, they eliminated that. Then they had to sue to get back on. Then they, I mean, it's just because they can. You know, they, all this, you go, well, they wouldn't. I'm going, I got so much supporting evidence. I used to go, he's forgotten more than you'll ever know about whatever. I never understood what the hell that meant until I got older. Hell, I forgot more stuff than a lot of people will ever know. And as I go through, I go, oh, yeah, I remember when they did that. Oh, yeah, and I remember when they did that. I got so much supporting evidence. How many do I got to remember? Just the most recent one. Everything else built up to that. Well, they're doing it again. So what are the Democrats going to do? They're contacting a lot of us, you know, and they're kind of, you know, focused on, you know, we've been talking, is that, and I haven't shared all this stuff with you guys, and I won't for probably till the end of the week, you know, when they kind of finalize. I mean, it's amazing. If they'll spend $500,000 on just an initiative so for the libertarians to even be able to get on, what if it just takes a bunch of money for libertarians to get on? How much would they throw at it? And I go, I'm not wasting my time for less than $500,000. Got it on you? How much do you want that Senate race? How much do you want that congressional seat? How much do you want? Oh, we got a budget of $3-6 million. And I go, yeah? Well, $500,000 of that's going to, so you even have a chance. Or I don't want to talk to you. Oh, by the way, you know, any taxes I got, I want Democrats to pay for all libertarians. The Democrats pay for all their taxes. I mean, that's for the moon. You know, so anyway, just take it out loud. We're having fun with this. But I'm telling you, if you think voting is going to make you free, you have not been paying attention. What else shall we do?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. I'm sitting here reading. You know, I did read last night. One thing that I read was Eric Prince, a Blackwater fame, he's creating his own Air Force. And I definitely want to spend a moment talking about that because, damn, you know, it's scary stuff. And it's so outside of any control that we have as, you know, American citizens and voters. And it's just, it's a private military mercenary force of, you're going to be glad we're there in the security of Omnicorp, you know, RoboCop. You know, it's just, so I'm, you know, if they can't do it through the government, they'll just hire somebody else to do and they'll just do it. The Arizona political thing, to wrap up on this, I just want you to understand that there's a reason why we're always involved, you know, that they're calling us, whether it's some lawsuit or there's some legislation or there's some act. You know, when you're kingmaker with only 3-5% that you can shift to whatever, all of a sudden they're your new bestest buddies. And it used to be Republicans were that. They tried not to. In 1996 was Bob Anderson, good friend of ours, you know, that you've heard on the show. He lives out in Tonopah, works at the Palo Verde plant. He's a supervisor refueling, lives off grid, 13 years, solar and everything, blah, blah, blah. Well, back when we were being activists back in the early and mid-90s and everything, there was a guy who goes, yeah, I'd do it. I'd throw my hat in the ring if I could, if I lived in that district. You know, district number, whatever the hell it was, doesn't matter, six, I think, doesn't matter. He goes, yeah, I don't live in the district. If I lived in that district, well, I'd run. Well, the chairman of a county in northern Arizona, Flagstaff, knew the law, and he bought him a hat. He goes, here's a hat. Now you can throw it in, because you don't have to live in the district to run for Congress. All you have to do is live in the state, or any district. And he goes, so when we found that out, we go, really? Okay, you know, all of us live in this one. Which one do you want? I go, this one, this one, this one. We'll do this and that. So people go, oh, you don't even live in the district. He goes, yeah. Libertarians align with the rural values of the ranchers and farmers in District 6. That's the rural kind of, we kind of want to go save them, give them an opportunity to be free. And they go, ah, damn it. I hate when libertarians do this stuff. So they never brought it up again. So Bob ran, and it was Bob Anderson versus J.D. Hayworth, which was a sportscaster here, Republican, McGilla Gorilla, we call it. Just, you know, later he would do infomercials after he got out for the guys with the questions and get all your money from the federal government and join, you know, here and buy my book and you can just get all kinds of money. He was a sponsor of that, an infomercial for that. Then he went on to do some other news thing and he was, you know, a talk show host here. Just, you know, he's just a, these guys are, man, they have no print. They just do. Okay. So J.D. Hayworth runs, and then the Democrat was the state chair of the Democratic Party, a guy named Steve Owen. So you had part one and part two. There was the 96 election with those three, and you had the 98 election with those three. Now, you would think that they would do the same thing. Nope, this is what happened. In the first election, they didn't know for 2-3 weeks, even with computers and everything, who had won. It was so close that Bob was like 10 times the difference between the two. During the entire campaign, the Republican, J.D. Hayworth, would go, my liberal opponent, my liberal opponent, my liberal opponent, never acknowledged that a libertarian was even in the race. The Democrats would kind of like, they'd show up, you know, where J.D. wouldn't be there and Bob would be there and they would kind of, but there was one debate. That was a PBS thing. It was just like, you know, Pal Gamble's deal at Arizona State University. And we're all in the audience, and they're checking us all, you know, for guns, them damn libertarians. He has a fanny pack. Tackle him and get a gun. I mean, they actually did. You know, this guy, oh, he's got it. Oh, come here. We got to check you. They were freaked out. You know, damn libertarian thing. They didn't know what the hell to do because we were doing a lot of Second Amendment stuff. So they go through the debate. They're talking about, we're going to build a firewall around Social Security and your retirement. It's going to go. And we knew it was all a bunch of crap. It's done. You know, they spent it all. So when Bob gets, he goes, you know, I want to build a firewall around my wallet. How about you quit taking all my, I mean, it was awesome. Bob, our prep was pizza and beer in his hot tub the night before. I mean, we're just like, yeah, we're going to have some fun. So he just kicked the living snot out of him. It was a squeaker. So 2 years later, when the same three ran again, the tactics of the Republicans totally changed. My bestest buddy, Libertarian Bob. You know, the Republican, oh, yeah, oh, I'm just, oh, I'm so libertarian. I just, oh, I love me some libertarian. Well, then he did much better. He did well. So the Republicans started to realize they had to embrace libertarian philosophy in a libertarian kind of freedom-oriented way, and the culture here in Arizona was shifting rapidly, and they better get in front of this thing. Well, it became obvious after a couple election cycles that they were just lying sacks of snot, and then you get into 9/11, Patriot Act, and Bush, and the wars, and all that. I mean, it was just, ew. So the Democrats, you know, they've found us to be, certainly with Charles Goyette and myself, we're on Air America and all that kind of stuff, and the radio, and they could just see the flavor was different. So the Republicans, they just couldn't. They can't. It didn't pass the smell test for everyone. So the Democrats are going, yeah, you know, we're really the difference. You know, the Republicans, they're just like us. You know, it's just that they won't own up to it and they won't admit it. But we'll admit it. We want government to rule and we'll be better than everything. If you really want people that don't like it, it would be the libertarians. So what did they do? They got Barry Hess that he endorsed a Republican. It was a Republican. It was Clint Bullock's wife. Oh, holy crap. I forgot about it. See, I forgot more than you guys will ever know. Now, the Republican governor had just appointed a libertarian, Clint Bullock, to Arizona Supreme Court justice here in Arizona. We just had Clint on. I'm like, all right, how the hell did that happen? Okay. So we were yakking about that. His wife ran for legislature. Barry Hess endorsed her. Okay. Now, the libertarians got pissed off because there was a libertarian in that race, but it was a, you know, just a paper candidate going, you know, and he's like, well, she's kind of libertarian. He did. And whether Barry should have done it or not is, you know, beside the point. It was a big controversy. So, you know, this is how they use us whenever they think it's going to benefit them. The Democrats want us just on the freaking ballot, so they have a chance of winning in, you know, a lot of these districts. So that's the only overlap that we have. And you know, talking to all these guys, at least the more honest ones are the Democrats. Yeah, we're communist and we want to be communist, and you'll help us be communist by going out there and being libertarian. We need you to be libertarian, because if the Republicans were really freedom-oriented libertarian, hell, they'd be winning, you know? But they're not, because nobody votes for these people. They know are just lying sacks of snot. And certainly when you got an option with a libertarian in there, and that gives big advantages to the Democrats, which is why Rove and friends and them all come in trying to keep libertarians off here. It's so important to the Democrats, certainly in high profile races. They're willing to spend some money, get some good libertarians in there to run for wherever the hell it is. So, but what's the condition that we do it? Hell no, not unless you don't get to have a say in nothing. We go to the Secretary of State when we file, you're standing right there saying that you're funding it and we're doing it and you're part of it, and come live on the show and we're going to talk about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, and it's legal and screw them, and the more they bitch about it, the better. You know, and they're like, okay, you know, Republicans don't know what the hell to do other than be corrupt. They just take delegates. They just shut down the conventions. They turn off lights. They pass because they don't care. They are sacrificing the GOP on the altar of we don't give a crap for their new world, whatever the hell that they're doing, because they're just going to do another one. Bill Kristol's up there saying, hey, we're going to support Hillary. You watch what happens. The money, like, you went, is she going to go to jail? You know, if Dr. Frank going, oh, Hillary's dumb, man. She's going out going, no, she's not. If she gets indicted, even if she certainly goes to jail, or she doesn't, you know, get to be running for president, no, I will be shocked and amazed. And this is going to, so they're willing to have a freaking civil war, a revolution, to get whatever they, them, those want, because they're dealing on a global basis. That's where this Eric Prince from Blackwater fame comes in. When we come back, I'm going to tell you, just summarize the article there so you can see real politics on a global level, what's really going on, using militarized crop dusters, force, hundreds of mercenaries from all over the world. You need something done? You need a Bundy Ranch thing done? You need an Oregon deal done? You need somebody sniped and killed and shot and kind of, you know, Ruby Ridge or Waco? Why don't you just, you know, controversy killing is us. You give us a call. We'll take care of it for you.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the years has already happened.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Ernie! Hello! Do we got Richard? Okay. No, I apologize. I thought we were at the top of the hour. I didn't know we were into it. No, crap. Sorry. I thought we had... going into the next hour. Well, that means we get to talk some more. That's good. Oh, yeah, that's right. I wanted to do the Priebus thing. Oh, heck yeah, man. We got to get to that. All right. I was in there making coffee, doing my top of the hour news break of 8 minutes. I did not know. All right. This is what we're going to do. Eric Prince was the guy that had Blackwater that did private security for the Bush administration. Going with Fallujah, and you have... hanging guys that, you know, being scumbags and abusing the people of, they go, oh, yeah, well, we're, you know, they're burned and hanging from the bridge, and now we got to go level Fallujah. Kind of, you messed with Americans, you know, whether they're U.S. personnel or not. The what he had done is we could see from the beginning of this, it went from Blackwater, and he got in a lot of controversy and, you know, illegality, or Congress didn't like it, or people found out stuff, and then all of a sudden... they're going, you know, we should, you know, damn, we're going to have to change our name. We're going to have to defund this. We're going to not do it. But it was supported by the Republicans and the Bush administration as a very necessary force of, we just have a contract and they get paid by our allies or somebody in another country if it's not our problem. When they do things that they are selling arms or services to, you know, some African regime of whatever the heck, in this article by Intercept, they kept referring to a violation of U.S. law. What the hell do they care? U.S. law, why? Why? Because he's a citizen? Nobody ever delved into that. I go, why is it illegal for him? He's living over there, doing over there. What do I care? You know, they're going, oh, well, he's under the jurisdiction of U.S. something. Somebody's got to explain that to me. And you never do that. Nobody ever asks why. Why are we in what? Nobody ever asks why. All right. So this is what I'm looking at. I'm going, what is his future? It was always to be able to provide military personnel, equipment, ammunition, logistics, intelligence, anything. Who wants to be the ruler of, I rule this, but you know, the Lord of War? So it was, if you ever watched the movie, God, what was that? I guess Lord of War. It was with Nicolas Cage. And that was a really good depiction of an arms dealer that just, you know, I supply. But the CIA and other different intelligence agencies from various different countries, be they the Soviet Union or Pakistan or Zimbabwe or whatever the hell, you know, they're using these guys to whatever they need. Why? Let me give you an example. You have a country in, God, which what was it? South Sudan, I think. They have a guy named Kiir, K-I-I-R. He goes around in Africa, big black guy with that black felt cowboy hat, given to him by George W. Bush. He always wearing that cowboy hat. You know, George, President of the United States of America gave me this hat, I got a hat, and reminds you of America, I got a hat. So what does he do? He talks to Prince, and he says, you know what? We got rebels here that are, you know, mucking up our crap, and we're losing a third of our production in oil revenue. And we got a bunch of oil money, and we need to protect our oil wells, our oil sites, our refineries, our employees. And they're always coming to raid, and they're doing, they're being a pain in the butt, and we need some help. He goes, not a problem. For $150 million, we'll get started. A year. And then they do a little bit more and a little bit. And what does he need? They need air support. Now, there was a plane. Let me show you this one plane. It was called the Bronco. I remember that. And it was used by, you know, CIA and these guys and whatever in South America. And I'm going to pull it up here, and it's called Bronco Airplane. You see this, you'll go, damn. Now, they're doing another one called the Thrush, which is a crop duster. And these crop dusters are very, 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 very resilient. They got, you know, they armed them up. Now, this was called the Bronco. Look at this bad boy. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And they armed this thing. Now, it's a twin boom airplane, has the pod in the front, and you know, it's got the high wing and two engines, and look at this, got a tail gunner. Okay, it's got a tail gunner area, it's got canned bombs. It probably only goes a couple hundred miles an hour, but when you don't have a plane in the air, this thing will strafe and beat the living crap out of whatever cartel we win. Oh hell, cartels have them. So this Bronco, that was a big deal. Now you go the Thrush. So let's go ahead and do that. The Thrush Crop Duster. Now, it is a very Thrush Crop Duster. Now, this plane is a very resilient, high rate of climb, very maneuverable, kick butt kind of plane. And they got it extended to where it seats two people. Now, it has all these pylons that puts on all kinds of different weapon systems, bombs, guided missiles, rockets, all kinds of crap. And they put a pod, you know, on the surveillance pod underneath that goes down, kind of goes down when it's in flight, so it gets below the propeller. And it has a laser guide. Well, it's the front of a Predator drone. You look at the Predators, they got that little ball thing, and it's got lasers and infrared and FLIR and blah, 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 blah. Well, that has been fit on this. Now, this is what happened. Eric Prince, former Blackwater mercenary guy, he goes and he says, you know what? Who needs this kind of stuff? Definitely China. China, remember we were always talking about they're going to go and conquer Africa. Here they come with their bags of money, and we're just going to do a deal. Well, what's the deal that they're doing? Hey, we got a deal with this government, and we're going to develop and do and the resources of whatever the mine or oil or whatever it is. And then you got some rebel thing. Where's our cut? And the Taliban of Durka Durka Jihad, or you know, our tribe versus, or the, you know, Tutsi versus the Tutu, or the what? Who gives a crap? I mean, there's, you know, you got, you know. Asian people coming in telling them what to do, and they're just, you know, not happy about it, and the indigenous people, and then we're having a war. So one side, that whatever side that, you know, did the contract that's in that allowed them, and you know, we bless you with a piece of paper that you get to go mine over there and build our infrastructure. Well, they're not going to do it unless they know their investment is secure. So they go in and they say, all right, well, the oil's kind of slowed down here. What are we going to do about it? Well, it's worth $150 million to have Eric Prince come in, have his 300-400 mercenaries going to go do some whip ass, and they're going to do guerrilla tactics and go and take out, and who do we got to kill? Well, then when they come up against a substantial force, we need air power. We need surveillance. We need rockets. We need guided bombs. We need guns. We need. So then they go and they said, how are we going to do this? They create a company of which it was kind of a secret that Eric was a big investor in this company called Airborne, I think it was, in Austria. Austria has gone through two world wars and been the target of bombing the crap out of them because they were making, right next to where they were doing this plane, other airplanes for the war effort. They got the crap bombed at them. So what did they do? They passed, we don't do any military arming of any military, arming of military. We ain't, no, hell no, against the law, whatever. But they built this plane. They converted $1 million new Thrush crop dusting kick butt plane. They armored the engine block. They Kevlar'd and bulletproof cockpit, you know, and the glass and all the kind of, you know, we're going to go to war. So they do all this, but they didn't actually put the machine guns on or anything. So they figured we could get away with it. You know, kind of sort of almost legal. So they customize the different pylons to take, not just do we set it for U.S. or, you know, NATO or a Warsaw Pact kind of bomb stuff or the Eastern Bloc. You know what? We'll do a universal thing. It'll just take anything. And I go, ooh, and even patent it. And they go, okay. So they're going through all this process. Then they ship it to Bulgaria across the border where it's all arms dealers there. There's, you know, the Wild West if we don't care. So they go put it over there. Then they start arming it. Then they fly it to Africa. And they go, here we go. People start to find out. You got spotters, you know, people taking pictures of, you go, look what they're doing, Then they go to Hong Kong, have board directors meeting with this company that they go, and they have, Eric, we got a former Admiral Fallon from the United States. He's there. They're going, this shall not pass. You can't do this. We're going to get in all kinds of trouble or whatever. And who controlled the board? The Chinese government. The Chinese were the board of directors back in Princeton. And they go, yeah, well, screw you. We're going to do it anyway. And they go to the U.S. government, CIA, and they go, well, you know, we kind of shrug our shoulders and kind of, hell, they're part of it. They need it. They're creating a mercenary Air Force ground troop weapon kind of, they're going to do whatever they're going to send in the U.S. You got a little rebel force, something you pay $150 million, it's on the cheap, man, on the cheap. Air Force will take care of it for you. And the intercept think, oh, see, we highlight, we got, he kind of skated the law. He really, yeah? But he abided by it. Probably. Maybe. Mercenary forces, here it comes. It's a new era.